Actually, he kind of, I guess he was instrumental in getting the battery started again after World War II, because, you know, the guns were placed in the basement of 51 Walden, which at the time was the veterans building. And they used to keep the cannons in the basement, and they were placed in there and kept there during the, you know, the war years. And he was, you know, played an important role in getting them back out and getting, you know, the gun crews together and all the equipment necessary to keep them going. Because if you look at the guns, there's an inscription hand-tooled into the top of the guns about the battle of April 19th.
And they were made, they were cast where?
Watervliet, New York.
What's that?
The guns were cast in Watervliet, New York. It's a big armory, and they made guns, and this is where they were manufactured. And they were, you know, I don't know where the state got them, but, you know, the battery wound up with them, and they had a local gunsmith. He hand-tooled in it an inscription of the battle. And if you get a chance, you know, you might get out, because you can look in the windows and see the guns. I used to have it, you could push a button, and it would bring on lights, you know, would light up the guns. And because the battery and friends of the battery built a gun house in 1960, where they used to be stored in the bottom of the veterans building, so they felt this was more suited for their care and maintenance, you know, rather than sit on the damp floor in the basement of the, you know, an old building that was very rarely ever used. But now it's 51 Walden, which is, you know, they do a number of plays and they have band concerts and.
So we did some interviews with Rod and Gun Club members, and so Concord has this history with
oh, yeah,
this weaponry.
Yeah.
I mean, how does that relate to, say, views of, that relate to the NRA or gun holding and, in a more general way?
Well, I don't. I always grew up with the thought that, you know, here's where the revolution started. So, you know, basically the things that we, you know, I mean, some of us take for advantage. I don't know where I want to go with this. It's, you know, it all started here. You know, it was a call to arms, you know, that forced the British out of town and started the revolution. So there's always been that history of guns. You know, growing up, there was the Rod and Gun Club, the Musquetucket Club, and, you know, there was always shooting. You know, there'd be skeet shooting and trap shooting, and, you know, today it's more into the, using specialized bows and arrows, but, you know, because the neighborhoods have encroached on the gun club, so they're trying to stay away from the use of guns, you know, because of the noise and the potential. You know, an arrow doesn't travel quite as far, and it doesn't make a lot of noise. Yeah, but, you know, growing up, there was always gun clubs, and, you know, it's like the Musquetucket Club. Every time a member of my family got married, that's where they'd have the reception. You know, it wasn't, you know, because of the guns, but it was just, they were members of the club. You know, it was,
So a strong belief in the Second Amendment.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think so. But a strong belief in the Second Amendment. But, I mean, there's been times when the battery was, people didn't want the battery to fire, you know, the Concord artillery, because they just don't believe in guns. But that's their prerogative. You know, everybody has the rights to believe in what they want. You know, I don't own a gun. I'm licensed to carry large-capacity weapons, but I don't own a gun.
You don't?
No. Just not any desire.
Not a gun guy?
No, not really. I mean, they interest me as in a mechanical way. I used to hunt, but I never really owned a gun. My dad had a shotgun, which I used, you know, as a young man to go hunting, but I just never had a desire to go out and buy a gun. So, but I am licensed. I think my wife deals in guns more than I do. She works for an auction company, and, you know, there's always the states, and, you know, there's a closet full of guns and whatever. But
she works for
Skinner, Boston. It's an auction house. Oh. They're supposedly one of the larger, you know, like Sotheby's, and, you know, Skinner's up there somewhere. But know, they deal in fine arts and antiques.
Did you raise any kids up to be firemen?
No children.
No children.
My brother's a landscape architect. My sister is a housewife and lives in Biddeford, Maine. But, you know, my brother was always out in the woods. And he has a green thumb like my grandmother had. You know, he could make anything grow, you know. And I always wanted to cut it down with a lawnmower, you know. My wife's the same way. She loves to garden. But, you know, to me, you know, gardening is, well, we got to get a rototiller and, you know, get metal fencing and stakes. And, you know, but she just, no, let's turn it over with a pitchfork. But that's work. So, but, you know, I think a lot about Conkin. I think a lot of it. And I spent a lot of years here, and I, you know, hope to spend the rest of my life here. It's really a funny story. I can remember being a child with my grandfather and someone asking him if he'd lived all his life in Concord. He hesitated for a moment and said, not yet.
That's the answer.
Yeah, it sounds like a real brotherhood at the fire department.
Oh, it is, absolutely, yeah. I mean, we depend on each other. You go into a burning building and, you know, you got to know that guy's behind you, you know. Or the guy that's in front of you, you got to stay with him. And we have it's basically like skin divers. It's a buddy system. If you go in with somebody, you come out with somebody.
How can you ever leave there?
Leave what?
The department.
I don't have any choice. You know, it's 65 and you're all done. Doesn't matter if you're healthy or not. So, but anyways.
Plans?
I do some light construction, and I have, you know, like carpentry, and I have a knack for old cars, and I know a number of people around that have old cars, so I'll do, you know, some minor repairs and maintenance for them. So I'll keep busy. I bought an old truck years ago. Actually, I've had it for pretty much all my adult life, and, you know, fixed it up over the years, but it didn't quite cruise down the road like it should, so I put a Corvette engine in it now. And I do all the work myself, so, which is fun. Now that I've got it all done, I hardly ever drive it, so I think working on it is more what I like to do.
We've interviewed people who just seem to have this incredible sense of volunteerism. They join every committee and go to so many meetings, and I just wonder how absorbed you'll get.
Yeah, my wife, she was on a number of committees for several years, but, you know, her position with Skinners grew, and it got to the point where she really couldn't do both. You know, it was either one or the other. She was on the planning board, and she started out on the White Pond Advisory Committee, which is a group of residents around White Pond. As the ponds developed, this committee has the ability to talk to you and to make sure that you're not going to do anything that is going to not injure, but, you know, kind of mess up the pond, because it is a kettle pond. There's no water in, no water out other than rainwater and groundwater. And all these little cottages have been made into, you know, year-round residents, and have grown and expanded and, you know, modernized. And, you know, it does have a adverse effect on the pond, because it causes
lawn fertilizers and stuff.
Right, and just the rain runoff from the roof, it causes, I can't think of it, but it has to do with, it causes eutrophication of the pond, and it promotes weed growth and algae blooms, and it's phosphate loading. Just the rainwater off the roof, if it isn't trapped in the ground and runs off into the pond, it increases the phosphate loading. I don't know the, you know, just exactly how it works, but that's the way it was explained to me. So they kind of keep an eye on the pond and what's going on around it. And they make a recommendation to the town. Let's say if you go in to apply for a building permit because you want to remodel. So it's, you know, all residents from around the pond. And she started out there, and then went into public works and then the planning board, and she did a study on West Concord, you know, because there's issues there that are growing, you know, like Commonwealth Avenue and the amount of traffic and the old railroad right away. You know, where the actual crossing is now, it's like a small park. And my brother designed it, and he took the crossing, which is the where the two railroads cross, and that's kind of the center point of the park. But that could change. I know they're talking about a bike path and using the old railroad right away. There used to be a bridge out back that crossed the Assabet River, but they took that out a number of years ago because two kids fell off it and drowned. So they figured the best thing to do is to take the bridge out. But, you know, it could have been probably used to expand the bike path. You know, it hasn't been done yet, but I know there's still talk about it. And, yeah, we used to, you know, have a great time on the river. There was a lot to do around Concord. You know, I mean, kids today typically sit in front of a computer and play computer games. Or, I mean, when I was a kid, the only computer in town was on Baker Avenue, and it took up an entire building. You know, and you had to be, a genius to operate it. Because I know when they took it, when they shut it down, Smithsonian Institute took it. Because it was one of two or three. And I guess it had a lot to do with the early space program. Because there weren't that many computers around. And they say today a typical wristwatch has more computing power than that entire building had. Which is amazing.
Well, this has been a wonderful interview and a lot of insight about all kinds of little details. I love your love of horses. And I bet you'd have been a good fireman back in the days when they had horsepower.
I bet I would have enjoyed
firefighting
that.
Machines.
Yeah. Well, the guys at work say, you know, I've been around since the horses, but I spent a week out in Arizona with some of my friends that grew up in Concord, and we go out to the Orme School and do a 5-day ride out to the Verde Wilderness. We camp out. It's just beautiful country, absolutely beautiful. And it's a great way to see it on horseback.
Yeah. Well, thank you for coming over today.
You're welcome. I apologize for being late.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.